The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Hey, welcome to America Tonight. We'll take you on the campaign trail. Plus, what was it like, the White House Correspondents' Dinner this time around? You know, it's all about the jokes on both sides of the aisle. It was the last time for Barack Obama as his presidency is coming to an end, so it's his last White House Correspondents' Dinner. It's funny to go back and look at the different eras from Bush to Clinton and even much further back. Reagan had some really funny lines, I think, at the time when he was coming out of his last year in office. So it's actually a pretty big deal, and it's interesting because of the marriage of the president, the people in the room, I think, the coming together of it, and then just the funny, whether it's funny or not funny, and ultimately who the comedian is, too, as well. Justin Duckham from Talk Media News was there. He was telling us that he had seats and was going to the Correspondents' Dinner. And, Justin, let's start there. What did you think of the night? What was it like?
Well, it was very interesting. You know, I think the general consensus, obviously, was that the president gave a much better speech than Larry Wilmore. That obviously had a lot more laughs and obviously had a lot more people paying close attention. You know, the Larry Wilmore one was pretty well received up until the end, obviously. That was something that certainly kind of resulted in a pretty, hushed silence just for the mere fact that, that word was used against the, sitting president of the United States, probably for the first time in American history. So the gravity of that was certainly not lost to those in attendance.
Yeah, you know, and he had this bit where, because I saw the whole thing, where he talked to me, where he kept saying the Zodiac Killer. Remember that? Did you think that was funny? It seemed like the room was kind of mixed reviews for him.
It certainly was. You know, there was a good portion of jokes that kind of fell flat. I personally thought the Zodiac Killer was my favorite portion of the evening, just because there really is no evidence that Ted Cruz is not the Zodiac Killer. Yes, he is about 4 years old at the time, but there still are some lingering questions that people just really need to answer. And actually, his wife was asked about that today, and she said, when you know Ted Cruz as long as I have, you know who he is as a person, and you know that there's a lot of garbage out there. But she actually did not specifically deny it, so I think the jury may still be out.
And for you, because, you know, peel back the onion for us, who did you meet? What people did you meet that were near you or you were able to talk to in the room?
Oh, God, that's a good question. I met Nev Campbell from Scream, and who's also in House of Cards. I got to meet the ladies from Broad City, which was, a big deal for me. But absolutely the greatest probably highlight of the evening, and probably any evening that I've had in any sort of similar situation, and maybe even a life highlight, was I got to meet Carrie Fisher, which was just kind of a show moment for me. I went up and I spoke to her for a little bit. I explained to her, I am a chubby man with glasses, and growing up, I owned all of your action figures, yada, yada, yada. So obviously I'm a big fan. And, she ended up taking selfies with her cell phone of the two of us. Which I, wasn't able to get, but I ended up getting one with my phone as well. So I took a selfie with Princess Leia, and therefore my life was complete.
I love it. Oh, that cracks me up.
It was an absolute highlight.
Good for you. That's funny. Now we move into the politics of the day, and there's a new CNN poll that says Americans agree that Clinton and Trump are headed for a face-off. Gee, you think? You and I have been talking about this for a while. So now I guess it's just more people are waking up to the reality that this is who it's going to be, you think?
That's what it seems like. At a certain point in American politics, we always like to create more drama than is absolutely due. Generally, we know how certain elections are going to go. We know what, certain things are going to look like. But we'll absolutely try to jump on some things to try to make it more interesting. We love the idea that there's always a chance that we could be surprised. Certainly this year we have had a lot of surprises, but nevertheless, there are some kind of, cold realities that ultimately need to be accepted. And the fact that Donald Trump probably is going to win the 1237 in terms of delegates is, becoming more and more accurate. There was a lot of hype surrounding Indiana, a lot of hope that Ted Cruz could ultimately win there and could therefore deny Trump the magic number. That seems like it's going to be going towards Trump. We have a new poll from MSNBC, Wall Street Journal, and Marist showing that he is about 15 points ahead of Ted Cruz over there, leading at about 49%. That's a pretty huge number one day before Election Day for a state that your campaign has risked a lot on, that your campaign had gambled pretty heavily on, both with the Kasich-Cruz strategy to sort of step aside and let Cruz win, along with naming a running mate. And, it's kind of hard to back away from that when you put so much on the line and then just say it doesn't matter and that this race is going to continue. If Cruz loses tomorrow, which it looks like it's going to be, there are very few opportunities that he can really point to show that, that not that he's a viable candidate. He's sort of giving up on that himself, but that he is a candidate who can still siphon off that magic number away from Donald Trump.
Yeah, well said. I agree with you 100%. And for Hillary Clinton, Indiana's kind of a done deal too, right?
Well, at this point, the Clinton campaign is essentially accepting the fact that this race is over. We've seen some efforts from the Bernie Sanders campaign to try to inject some drama on this. Following the White House Correspondents' Dinner on Sunday, Bernie Sanders held a press conference at the National Press Club in which he said that he thinks it's difficult, although not impossible, for him to win. He pointed out that all he really has to do is capture about 65% of the remaining delegates, which, considering the momentum that Clinton has had and the sort of successful she's enjoyed, seems like a much harder sort of uphill battle than Sanders was kind of portraying it as. So, it's sort of over, and at this point, which means most of the campaign's kind of moving on to general election vote.
The other thing that I thought was interesting from the White House today, they're releasing this other footage of what happened with Bin Laden from 5 years ago. Is it because, okay, now we're almost out the door, let's show you some more, or what was that about?
That's a good question. I don't have the full details on that from the White House. But this is, of course, coming up on the 50th year anniversary. And this is also coming up with sort of a renewed sort of look at the official government narrative. We have Seymour Hersh, who is a very well-respected journalist, somebody who broke the My Lai massacre case, somebody who was the first person to really report on the Otto Graham scandal. And he's sort of been back in the news, sort of trying to reassert that the sort of alternative narrative that I put forward a little while back, in which that this was argued that this was largely just sort of a hit job organized by the Pakistani government and given to the U.S., yada, yada, yada. That's sort of been regaining traction, so I think that may have a bit of a view as well. And also, ultimately, not to be too crass here, but it doesn't hurt the Democrats politically to remind, people going into a general election year that they are a party that's not necessarily that bad when it comes to national security issues, considering the fact that they, can claim the scalp of Bin Laden.
Yeah, interesting stuff. All right, so Indiana's tomorrow, so we'll see ultimately what happens there. We don't think there's going to be any surprises. Justin Duckham, thanks so much for sharing your White House Correspondents' Dinner experience. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again.
Thank you so much. You have a good one.
You too. So, he's saying now, it's pretty much at this point it's a done deal, right? Talking about the delegates and what it looks like poll-wise, certainly not very good for Ted Cruz. Cruz, though, still trying to spar with Trump and get as many supporters as possible in Indiana, but a real shocker is not expected. That is for sure. Hey, stay with us. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to introduce you to a comedian who is going to talk about Larry Wilmore and what happened at that correspondence dinner as a comedian. How did he fail, do well, or what was that all about? Stay with us.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1. Stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything. Your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2. Call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-941-5257. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-941-5257. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-941-5257. That's 1-800-941-5257.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
How would you like to make 17% on your money in only 90 days?
That's right. Gold owners made 17% in only 3 months as gold had its best quarterly gain in 30 years. Gold is on the move, and you need to get government-issued, legal tender gold coins starting at only $139 each. The U.S. Money Reserve, one of the largest gold distributors in the country, announces the first ever at-cost gold release on this station for only $139 each. 1-866-944-GOLD or online at usmoneyreserve.com. Official U.S. government issued legal tender solid gold coins at cost for only $139 each. Call 1-866-944-GOLD. Ask for a free 55-page gold buyer's book. Plus, get a free Walking Liberty half dollar just for reading this must-have book all about gold. Remember, gold is on the move, up 17%. Call 1-866-944-GOLD.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
I heat up, I can't cool down. Got me spinning round and round, round and round and round it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. Every time you call my name, I heat up like a burning flame. Burning flame, full of desire. Baby, let the fire get higher.
Abra, abra, cadabra. You know, it's a lot of pressure when you are picked as the comedian who gets to roast the president, basically, right? And there have been some interesting comedians that have had that opportunity, and I can't imagine what that would be like. Of course, comedy is such a personal thing. I mean, I love comedy. I've done a little stand-up myself. We've talked about that, and, you know, some jokes work, some jokes bomb. Does it matter? The crowd, of course it does. And I watched the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and it was interesting to see how I think Larry Wilmore was received by the crowd. And, you know, you're also playing to a crowd where it was almost, I want to say it was late. It was almost 11 o'clock at night. Many drinks had flowed. The president was a little bit late to the correspondents' dinner. So I think he got a lot of positive reviews, and I think there were other people that didn't like some of what Larry Wilmore had to say. The president, I think, absolutely liked it. And was he the perfect choice to host President Obama's final White House Correspondents' Dinner? Even if the journalist seemed a little bit uncomfortable. Very excited to welcome to the show Michael Loftus. He's a very busy performer, writer, comedy dude. You see him all over the place. And you can catch him with the Loftus Party on radio. Easy for me to say after 10 cups of coffee. Hey, Michael, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great to be here. And slow down with the coffee.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happens. Oh, too much coffee.
So, a hummingbird.
Exactly. Just like that. So, Larry Wilmore, what did you think of Larry Wilmore's performance overall?
You know what? Larry's not a stand-up comic, I don't think. And I just felt bad for him, you know, because he was like, obviously he was married to those jokes, that those were the jokes. And he didn't have that twinkle in his eye, like, hey, we're all having, they just came off as kind of mean-spirited.
Yeah, you know what? I kind of thought that, too. I watched the whole thing, and there was, you know, he did the CNN bust on Wolf Blitzer, which a lot of people bust on Blitzer, but he said, hey, Wolf, I'm ready to project tonight's winner, anyone who isn't watching the Situation Room, and it was just the longest faces in the room, even when you got really personal. When you're a comedian, do you have to be careful about, especially in a situation like that, when you go after somebody?
Yeah, you really, really do. You have to let them know that it's all in fun and that everybody's having a good time. And if it comes across as mean-spirited, you're sunk. That's why Obama did so well. And that's my other rule for Larry Wilmore and everyone in the future that does this show. Never go after the president. When the president is funny, it's amazing, which makes him incredibly funny. George Bush was always great at this gig.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny you say that, too, because I thought the president was, he was dead on. He was hitting a lot of funny lines. They had that little funny feature film that he played that was hilarious about what he was going to do. Even the shot, as you know, of him with John Boehner. And it was, some of that was really, really good stuff.
And he had probably that look on his face. And I'm not a huge, like, Obama fan, but I'll give it up for when a dude is funny. And, like, he was, like, almost laughing at the setup to the jokes. You know, when he's like, where else does Donald Trump have to be? It's like you just want to laugh with him. The dude is talented.
Right.
He does everything well except be president.
Yeah, he was very, very funny there. There's no question about that. So when you get tapped, you know, you understand this. When you get tapped, there's all kinds of roles for a comedian. But when you get tapped to do this, what is the pressure like? It has to be pretty high, don't you think?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, that's like, seriously, my heart goes out to the host of whoever gets this gig. It's just got to be so tough. Yeah, it's not the easiest thing to do. And I don't know when this turned into like a just an out and out roast, but I wouldn't do that in the future. I would like poke fun at people who take themselves too seriously, but I would stay away from the mean spirited stuff.
Yeah, it's funny too when he started. If you remember, he started saying why he was the perfect guy for, you know, to be tapped on as the guy to do that. And what was it that he said? He introduced himself as a black man who replaced a white man who pretended to be a TV newscaster.
Yeah.
So then he said, so yeah, in that way, Lester Holt and I have a lot in common.
Right? And that's like, when that one did, that's a great joke. That is a great joke. But when that one doesn't work, buckle up, kids. You're in for a long night. It's going to be a bumpy flight.
Yeah. What did you think when he said, you know, he stuck to his guns on the Zodiac Killer thing, where he kept repeating that in different ways?
That was my favorite part.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was my favorite. It's like, remember when Letterman hosted the Oscars and he kept going back to Oprah? Meet Uma.
Yes.
Uma?
Yeah.
Meet Oprah. There's a part where it's like no longer funny, but then if you keep going, if you have the courage to keep going, it gets funny again. And I could have done with like three more Zodiac Killers. That was like my favorite part of the show. And that's a phrase you very rarely heard. I could have done with like three more Zodiac Killers. There's a sentence I never thought I'd say in my life.
Yeah, there you go. And if you don't understand the reference, you have to go back and watch it, that's for sure. One of the things that you've done in your career as a writer, as a stand-up comedian, you just finished, what, 100 episodes? You were a producer on FX's Anger Management with Charlie Sheen?
They did this thing where we made 10 episodes of this sitcom, and because it went so well, FX and Lionsgate just said, well, let's do 90 more and get instantly into syndication. So it was the craziest. It was like old-time TV. We were just making, like, two episodes of television a week. It was crazy, and it was fun. And the show is, like, a hit globally.
What's Charlie Sheen like? I heard he's actually can be kind of funny.
Oh, my gosh. That whole family. Well, his dad was on the show. His brother, Ramon, was a producer on the show. His sister was a writer. They're just an incredibly talented family. Charlie Sheen is one of those guys that, like, seriously, he could, you know, in that Charlie Sheen, really serious, he could read the phone book and you'd probably laugh.
Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely. I met him once. It was at an all-star game, and it was an after party at Planet Hollywood, and he was really funny. He was holding court at a table, and he was just smoking one cigarette after another, and in between he had these perfect pauses, and people were just cracking up. And I don't think it was the booze. I think it was
right.
That
he's blessed with that timing, those perfect pauses, like the president had at the White House. He's just got it. You can't teach it. You either got it or you don't.
Yeah, absolutely. You did a full hour on Comedy Central. What was that like for you?
Oh, it was amazing. It was the most fun. And I don't want to complain. I've been having a, knock on wood, a great career. I'd love to do another one. You know, my first special was 90 minutes, and then Comedy Central, they like picked the 45 minutes that they wanted to put on TV, and that was great. But if you look at, like, I'm ready to do another one like tomorrow, but I keep getting sidelined with these situation comedies. Like, my stand-up career is going great, and then somebody go, hey, why don't you help out on this single camera show for NBC? And I'll do that, and then I go back to stand-up, and now, hosting my political comedy show, The Flip Side. It's like I'm super happy right now because I'm writing and performing, and it's just it's the best of both worlds.
Cool. And one quick one also at the end of this, man. Who did you think is the funniest person? Who to you was the funniest person growing up that really sucked you into this whole comedy gig?
Well, I tell you what, looking back, my biggest influence probably, and I'm a big fan of originals, Jonathan Winters. Like, when they made that dude, they broke the mold. Robin Williams is great, but he's kind of, in a weird way, an echo of Jonathan Winters. And then you got to give it up for Richard Pryor, too. Richard Pryor and Jonathan Winters have a lot in common. How they would just fall into characters and be the characters and just make you laugh and laugh and laugh.
Yeah, totally. Hey, it was a pleasure having you on the show. We'll have to have you back on again so you can teach me how to tell a joke.
Oh, no, let's do it. And, like, next time I'm going to have 10 cups of coffee, too. I will.
So you could be the hummingbird.
Espresso for espresso.
I like it. Thanks, Mike.
Hey, thank you. Good meeting you.
Yeah, nice meeting you, too. And, by the way, his Twitter handle, @MikeLoftusComic. So, and that's LoftusComic. So you can certainly tweet him. And this guy's he's a funny, funny guy. I loved him sharing that experience with the whole Charlie Sheen thing. And you can go back and you can see his Comedy Central bit, the hour that he did. And he talked about The Flip Side, so he's able to take a look and mix in that topical political humor stuff, too, as well. All right, hang with us. Much more coming your way on The Flip Side.
When fresh liquid whey is processed into a dry powder, the special proteins that make up the whey lose their original shapes. They fold in on themselves and lose their functional value. One World Whey undergoes a technological enhancement that we believe restores these potent proteins back to their original shapes the body can use.
I chose to try One World Whey first before going to a doctor who would likely only prescribe drugs. To my delight, it worked. After stabbing pain for years, to have it completely gone is a miracle. I'd like to also stress that, for me, it took several months of taking One World Whey before I had improvement, and then an entire year for my gut to feel 100% healed. So now I tell my friends, give your body time to make use of the healing power of One World Whey.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you have dry hands or itchy, peeling skin? Are your cracked feet in need of a makeover for sandal season? Hi, my name is Diane Cook, the creator of B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream. B-Spa is all natural, 16% beeswax, marigold extract, and other essential oils and nutrients. B-Spa is great for exceptionally dry hands and feet, but B-Spa can be used anywhere on the body. I am sure you will see a difference overnight. B-Spa is the only cream you will ever need. The convenient 2.5-ounce size jar travels nicely and a little goes a long way. B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream costs $29.99. Use promotion code 101 for free shipping. Order B-Spa Hand and Foot Cream today at bespa.com. That's B-E-E-S-P-A.com. That's B-E-E-S-P-A.com.
This is it. For the first time ever on this station, U.S. government gold offered at cost for only $139 each. With Wall Street suffering its worst start to a trading year in history, now is especially the time to be paying attention to gold. This first time ever, U.S. legal tender government gold offered at cost for only $139 each is from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call them at 1-866-944-GOLD. Gold is on the move, so don't miss out. For the first time ever on this station, U.S. government gold offered at cost for only $139 each. 1-866-944-GOLD or online at usmoneyreserve.com. Ask for a free 55-page gold buyer's book. Plus, get a free Walking Liberty half dollar just for reading this must-have book. Get your free gold book, your free half dollar, but most importantly, get your gold at cost for only $139 per coin. 1-866-944-GOLD.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you are having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
I love you, baby. I love you now. I love you, baby. I love you now. Look at us, we're beautiful. All the people push and pull, but let's just go out and ride. Talk about the things we tried. Look at us, we're beautiful.
You have to prepare something that you think is funny and entertaining, right? But you also have to realize that you're following a very funny president who's got jokes, too. So
yeah.
You have to be aware that, well, I want to make sure I'm not going to do something he might do. So there's a double thing going on there.
All right, that was Larry Wilmore. Thanks for joining us here on America Tonight. He was the guy that was the last one to jump on the correspondence dinner. In other words, the comedian that was hired to jump in. And he, by some accounts, he was funny, and others not so funny. And I thought he had a tough job anyway of following a guy, a president who was funny. And I think Michael Loftus really summed it up best, how tough it is to be in that role. You know, Bush was very funny. He said that too. And if you go back and you look at some of those correspondence dinners, they're just hilarious. He was great. Even the first lady was drawn into it, and she was deadpan funny a couple of times when, you know, Laura Bush, when she got up and interrupted him, oh, that same old joke, I've been hearing that forever. And there were just really funny moments, and I thought, of course, Reagan had some funny moments during his time, and, you know, this is kind of the deal where they can get back at the media in a sense. They can just rip on whatever the current event is. And that's the idea, that they've been doing this correspondence dinner forever. So that was the last one for him. And it made me think of who is really funny. Comedy is a tough thing. I mean, who do you think is funny? I'm going to ask you that, America, right? Who is funny? Who makes you laugh, period? Even if it's old comedy or new comedy or whatever, who makes you laugh? 855-266-5283. I think laughter is the best medicine of all. Seriously. 855-266-5283. And I can appreciate a good comedian, that's for sure. So, Patrick Eggdorf, who do you think is funny?
I have a couple picks. For a modern day, I like Louis C.K. a lot. He has some...
so do I.
Yeah, he has some really good observational humor. Always classics like George Carlin is also really good.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that says something about you. So you go old school and new school. Louis C.K. has he's got a television show, and I think it's hilarious, and it's exactly what you said, observational humor from everyday things that you just don't think about and weird scenarios. And the funny thing is about Louis C.K., he had the opportunity to go and do comedy, write comedy for somebody, and where he could have made a bunch of money when he was struggling much more. And he decided he was going to go do this thing himself, and he really pulled that show together, and that just exploded for him. And he's done a bunch of those comedy specials, and I think he's hilarious. I like Amy Schumer. I know some people are iffy on Amy Schumer. I like Amy Schumer. I think for a young comedian, I think she's great. I like some of the Tina Fey stuff. She has kind of a quirky way to look at things, and I think she's funny, and she's written some funny shows. 30 Rock had a lot of funny moments in it, but she's also done a bunch of spin-offs. Some of the comedy that she's written and done has been really, 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 really funny. I'd also say, like, she did this thing, Kimmy Schmidt, that's out there, and I think that's the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and I think that's pretty good stuff. And I also would, and the woman, by the way, in that show is Ellie Kemper, and she plays that beautifully. I would say, and for guy comedians, I think Will Ferrell can be funny. It just depends on the situation. I think he's great at some of his imitations, and he's great at that humor where he works off stage. I also think, and some people are iffy on him, Ricky Gervais can be funny, but he is a cutter, definitely. He gets away with it because it works for him. It's like what Michael Loftus said. I mean, here's the deal. If you are that kind of comedian, whatever it is, whatever the joke is, then you have to keep selling it, and you can't bag out on it. You have to be brave enough to keep doing it, even if it seems like it's falling flat. And Ricky Gervais is that guy. He totally crosses the line, but he gets away with it for the people that know him because that's what he does, and he does not back down from it. I think old school, even Carol Burnett, if you go back and on TV Land, they have her shows, and she had some funny stand-up variety kind of stuff what they did on her show, I think was pretty hilarious. And some of the people on Saturday Night Live have bombed, and some have been really, really entertaining over the years with the news segments. And again, that's a personal thing as to who you like on those news segments or not. I mean, that's what's so interesting about politics. There are so much ridiculousness that's happening, especially these days, and it's, you know, listen, there's some serious effects of who we elect and who's on the Hill and, you know, who the judges are, basically, in our three branches. But there's so much material there that could, sadly, when you want to cry, that you could use to be funny with. And this is when I think comedians really earn their money. Those that are doing monologues that can come up with some of the most bizarre spins on what's happened daily and the daily grind from every step along the way to the primaries all the way to we hit the front doors in Philly and Cleveland for those conventions. So if you want to whip that in, you can. You can also tweet it to me at Real Radio Talk. So Kate Delaney at Real Radio Talk. Who is funny, funny to you? And you just heard what Patrick had to say, and you heard some of mine. And I like comedy, so I could pick out a whole bunch more. I like a lot of the young comedians. I like some of the older comedians. And, you know, funny's funny. What works, works. You know, it's hard to imagine this, but this was coming up today, that, and I asked this of Justin at the top of the show about the Osama bin Laden and the fact that now they're releasing some more stuff, some more footage, I guess, on the bin Laden trail. But 5 years ago, there's a question, and it was on one of the websites, I think it was CNN, it said, 5 years ago, the U.S. killed Osama bin Laden. Did it matter? And, you know, what's the answer to that? Did it matter that we killed Osama bin Laden, that the U.S. Navy SEALs got him at that compound in Pakistan, in his compound? Because look what's happened now with ISIS, the crazy Islamic extremist threat that is spread all over the place, what we've seen happen in Brussels, what happened in Paris, these terror attacks, the crazy reach of ISIS, what analysts are saying, that there's going to be this resurgence in this year that could pose a much bigger, longer danger to the just the world globally in general. So nailing bin Laden, the fact that they got bin Laden, did it do anything to deter what we've seen terror-wise? I mean, 2011, think about that, bin Laden was killed. That was a decade after the attacks of September 11th. And remember, that was the whole thing. We're going to get vengeance on the people who attack America, no matter what we have to do. I mean, that was the promise that was passed from the Bush administration to the Obama administration. So at that moment, to me, I think we have not forgotten, or I have not forgotten, the 3,000 people who died at the hands of his organizing efforts. So to me, I think it was imperative that we got Osama bin Laden. I think of those babies that grew up without fathers, and there were a lot of them who had no, you know, never saw their father because they were in a tower or on a plane that just was sadly at the wrong time for that attack. So to me, I think yes. I think they had to get bin Laden. Did it change anything? Did it deter anybody? I don't think it deterred anybody. I mean, it goes back to that old saying, if you cut off the head of the snake, more will still grow. And you're going to be going, you know, it's whack-a-mole. We're going after this person, that person, drone bombings, all of that. But I think absolutely it mattered to get them, no matter who it was, to me. You have to constantly try to decimate whatever the leadership, the core leadership is, despite the fact that there's always going to be an offshoot or somebody else that tries to be an imitator. I mean, listen, ISIS is making it clear that they want to develop some kind of a chemical or biological capability that they can use against the West, right? Tactically, they're thinking of more ways that they can infiltrate or influence, same thing, other would-be terrorists in other places in the world, too. So did the death of bin Laden deter anyone? I would say, it didn't deter anybody. But I think it was completely necessary. From my point of view, as somebody who was in New York City and watched that horror show and watched the pain up close and personal, absolutely. And I think most of you didn't have to necessarily be in New York or any of those places to feel that rage, frankly. You can throw in your 2 cents. We'll take them next. 855-266-5283. Look at this show. We go from who's the funniest comedians to bin Laden. Wow. Hang with us.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our Healthy Body Weight Loss System simply neutrophies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop. You save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors not available in all states.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
To see you when I wake up is a gift I didn't think could be real. Know that you feel the
same. All right, let me catch you up on what we're talking about here on America Tonight. Indiana. This should be it, the last nail in the coffin for Ted Cruz, because Trump is all over this. Hillary Clinton is just going to roll on. And now, in any of the polls, people are saying, yeah, it's Clinton and Trump. Yeah, it's Clinton and Trump. Pretty much that's what we see. Unless somebody tries to upset the apple cart at the Republican convention, it's not going to happen at the Democratic convention, although there may be some sway with Bernie Sanders and some of his ideas, but I think that's it for feeling the burn. You can feel it petering out, even though there's still excitement for Bernie Sanders among a lot of millennials. There's not enough to push him into the driver's seat as far as the nomination is concerned. And ha-ha funny. Who do you think is funny? I mean, listen, when you want to go and get a laugh, is there a comedian? Is when these movies come out, we do these cheap movie reviews, you see there's a pattern as to who are in some of these movies. Do you go and see a movie because someone you think is funny, like a Kevin Hart's in it or a Will Ferrell's in it, or somebody else has produced something that you think is funny, and no matter what they pump out, you're going to go and see it. And Osama bin Laden, it's things come in threes. Osama bin Laden, after 5 years and his death, are we better off on this elusive war on terror? Let's put it that way. Let's go out to Dan, listening in the great state of Texas. Hello, Dan.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, this little girl had a whole bunch of kitties down at the store, and she was giving them away. And this woman walked up. She says, "Oh, those are the most beautiful kitties I ever seen in my life. What are their names?" It said, "Eeny, Meeny, Miney, and George." says, "Eeny, meeny, miny, and George, what happened to Moe?" He says, "There ain't going to be no Moe. Daddy shot like Mama Cat."
Ba-dum-bum. That's good. I like it.
Okay, I'll have another one for you tomorrow night. Now, Bin Laden, praise to Obama for doing the thing that was necessary. I applauded him at the time. I still applaud him. I think that was one of the greatest revenges that America ever could celebrate. We danced in the street. We patted each other on the back. We said, "Yeah, baby, yeah." And I still hold those sentiments. Good riddance to bad rubbish. As
Absolutely.
Far as the rest of the debacle that our beloved president has got us into in the Middle East with his wanting to change things for every thing from the Brotherhood in Egypt to get kicking out Assad in Syria and his involvement in taking away the troops when we had Iraq totally pacified and under our rule in a sense that they would be pushing forth with a democratized form of government in their country, which had never been tried, but they seemed to like it because they even went and dyed their fingers in the ink to show that they voted, even though there was death threats against them. It was an absolute bummer of a bad move by him to pull out, and now he's put in almost 4,000 troops when he had 4,000 troops there to start with.
Yeah.
Okay, now, the funniest comedian. I would, with Jonathan Winters, once upon a time when he was beginning out, he went into an elevator in San Francisco, pulled out a hand grenade and said, "Everybody goes when the whistle blows," and you should have seen the 250-pound men trying to jump through the skylight. When they found out it was a fake, they beat the hell out of him, held him as a arrested person, called the cops, they took him to the court. Court said, "Mr. Winters, why would you do something like that?" And he says, "Well, I want to get noticed, and I'm a comedian." And the judge says, "Mr. Winters, that is not funny."
I didn't know that story. That's great.
That's a true story. It really happened. That really, really happened. That was one of the first things that got him on the front was what he pulled up right there. And another one was Richard Pryor. Richard Pryor was great. Now, the political situation. To do my threes. Trump has got it. I voted for Cruz. As you know, I was a Cruz supporter, still am a Cruz supporter, but I will vote for Trump in the final election because we cannot, as a nation, survive 4 more years or even 8 more years of Democratic rule. This country is in dire, dire straits. We're $19 trillion in debt. $22 trillion is when we no longer are able to even pass our own money amongst ourselves. We will become the Weimar Republic. If you know anything about history, you know what happened there. Whole wheelbarrow full of money and you couldn't buy a loaf of bread. That's what's coming for us if we don't change our trajectory in this political situation. This country needs to get the people back to work and not on the dole that we're just piling up debt and letting everybody slide. And if that doesn't happen, honey, I'm telling you, we're in for the darkest days, back to the 1930s and even worse.
Oh, boy, and that's a terrible thing to think about.
Well, you know I'm
rolling
right.
Back.
You know
yeah.
I'm right.
I don't want to roll back. I'm sure you don't want to roll back. Nobody listening to this show wants to see that happen. Ugh, the worst. I mean, here's a great question for you. What do you think our best error was? When you could have a vacation, you could have a job and have
space. Yeah, but we can't
space.
Do that now. It takes a wife and a husband working full time and the kids being babysit by somebody else so that we can still maintain the same level of life that we had back in the
70s.
In the 70s, but even in the 50s. My dad used to make $1,500 a week, and we lived big time. That was huge money. And we had a mansion in San Jacinto. We had deep freezers. We had a cooler full of meat. We had everything. And because of his alcoholism, we lost it all. So I know what being in a very good position and being in a very poor position is.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to go back, that's for sure.
Okay, and that's where we're headed if we don't get our ship right into the right way. We have got to get it back to the situation where we're not taking out a certain... And Obamacare, 1/5 of the economy would be run by the federal government if we keep Obamacare, and that keeps every man and woman in this country under the thumb of the government. We need this off our back and out of our lives. Baby, I'm telling you, that's the way it's got to go.
Yeah, I agree with you on the Obamacare thing. It's just abysmal. Dan, thanks. I'll give you a great example. I have a friend. She built a company from the ground up where she was a single mom, and she had a great idea, and despite what everybody was telling her negative and telling her not to do it, she did it. And to her credit, she built it to the point where she franchised and got some more and got some more, and has like 16 different locations now. And, you know, and here's the thing that's interesting. So she was giving her the employees that she had health care, and it was good. They were getting a good rate. They could afford it. The health care was fine. Then the Affordable Care Act was passed. Suddenly, they have to pay $14,000 a month for their employees to insure them. But what happened was the employees have to take her insurance. They have to take that company's insurance. They can't do the Obamacare thing. It doesn't work. They have to take hers. And as a result, because of what they've offered her, it costs the people more money. So the people who work for her, who she didn't want to do that to, had good insurance, liked it. It was fine. They were very happy with the rate. And now they have to pay more. And they have no choice. So to me, it seems as though, it doesn't seem, I know this, it's the people that can really take it the least that are getting squished. I mean, I get it. If we're talking about somebody, and then there's the other part of it, of qualifying. So, you know, I would say this on the air, from what I understood in all those trips to Washington, well, somebody's destitute, but gosh, they could at least have health care, and they need health care, and then if they have to go to a hospital, emergencies, whatever. But that's not necessarily true, because there still is a certain amount of money that you have to make, that you have to pay whatever, even if it's a tiny amount that you have to pay, you have to be able to qualify to pay it. And then they ask for a trillion documents because they want proof of everything, and of course they do, because people are just grabbing things, getting on things, and it's just a nightmare is what it is. I mean, just a nightmare. And it has really crippled so many people that you don't even know what your health care coverage is. So the other part is, if you get sick, it's like a doctor said, and we've had doctors on the show, like Dr. Elena George, who I love, who's come on the show and said, you know, what's the best answer? Well, just don't get sick. But can we always help if we get sick or not, even if we do preventative measures? The answer is no. There's no way to know that, right? We're just spitballing. Thanks so much for listening to this show. Remember, you can tweet me anytime, day or night, 24/7. We are wide open. Kate Delaney at Real Radio Talk. Thanks to the guy in the back row, the kid in the front. Yeah, you over there in Indiana. Oh, you got a big one coming up. Thanks.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. MiniCPAP.com now offers a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. For even more freedom, you can add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's called the Transcend Mini CPAP, and right now you can try it risk-free for 10 days by calling 1-800-945-9289. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend, is so small and so light you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. Call MiniCPAP.com now for your 10-day at-home trial. 1-800-945-9289. That's 1-800-945-9289.